Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Father, you are worthy of it all. Jesus, you have brought us to your Father. And our reaction to him is through our worship, it's through our prayers, it's through our attendance, it's through our intentions. And Lord God, we give you this morning. We place our worship. Let our worship and our prayers rise to you like the incense of old. Yes. So Lord Jesus, we continue to ask for your guidance in all things within our lives, within this church. Lord God, help us to stand firm against the raging current of our world that seeks to destroy us. But Lord God, we plant ourselves on the rock, the firm foundation to withstand those petty little storms that arise, because Lord, you are above it all, and Lord, you are worthy of it all. Aren't you glad that we serve a God that is worthy of it all? There's no conditions here. We don't have to wake up each morning and say, God, are you worthy today? Are you worthy of my praise today? What have you done last night? Tell me those things. Are you a good God today, or are you a bad God today? We don't have to do any of that, because we have confidence in who he says he is. He is the great I am. He was before, and he is after all things. And that same God that is so omnipotent, so powerful, so huge, is the same God who dearly loves each one of us. And he is worthy. And because of Jesus Christ, it says we become worthy. Oh, what a glorious time and a glorious day. So much emptiness in our lives if we are apart from Christ. And unfortunately, that's how much of the world lives. So Lord, today, Lord God, we do lift up our adorations and our exaltation to you. It is absolutely about you. Each one of us here today are here for one reason, and that is you, Jesus. So have your way in this service. Do whatever you want. Guide it along how you wish. Speak to us. Speak to us collectively, but Lord, also speak to us individually, as each one of us are in a little bit different place this morning. Despite what happened last night or last week, good or bad or indifferent, we come together this morning to praise you, to worship you. Jesus, be glorified. We pray this in your name. And everyone shout it out.
Amen.
Amen. You guys may be seated. Awesome. Oh, goodness. Well, let's dismiss the kids. Looks like we got a whole gaggle of kids today. That's going to be awesome. You guys have a great, great, great time down there. Let's always be in constant prayer for our kids. All of those things. How do you guys like the weather? It's so funny, because it's one of those things, and nobody's just kind of like, well, the weather's okay. It's either like, oh, it's so beautiful out. The snow falling, oh, it's just so beautiful. And other people are like, man, I'm going to have to shovel. Kind of funny how we're never quite satisfied. But it is so pretty out there. The changing of the seasons is always a great time. This could be the most beautiful time of the year, when you have the leaves that are still on the trees that are so, so pretty. But now we have the white background, and we got the green, and we've got all those things. And some of the men in here are just like, yeah, but it's hunting season. That's what makes it beautiful. It's hunting season. So we all can appreciate different things in different ways. A few quick announcements. We'll just run through these pretty quick. I've been drilling them into you guys. It's in the bulletin. It's in our app. Next Sunday is the last Sunday. Therefore, it's last Sundays. So after service, we'll do our potluck. It's going to be fun. It's going to be good. The food is always amazing, and there's always a lot of it. So please just plan to stay next week. If you have been thinking, boy, I should invite so-and-so to church, a coworker, a neighbor, a friend, what a great day to invite them to church on last Sunday so they can stay. Just say, hey, come to church, and I'll buy you lunch afterwards. Yeah? Right? So that's good. And then you'll be surprised we're going downstairs. You get to meet everybody and all that. But what a great time. We do this very well. Our church is so good. Our church is so good at the friendship stuff. And this is just another way. So plan to be here for last Sundays. And then a week from Monday is Halloween. It's October 31st. So we're having our trunk or treat. I think this is our sixth annual trunk or treat. There is a sign up in the foyer. If you haven't signed up to do a trunk yet, please consider it in the next few minutes. So on your way out, you can sign up for that. We could still probably use more candy. Yes, we have a lot of candy, but it's all about the candy, isn't it? So we'll just get things rocking and rolling on that Monday. It starts at 4, so maybe if you can be here at 3:45 to set up real quick, because at 4 we'll block the parking lot off, because it's not good to have cars driving in and kids. Makes it more exciting for some, but we want to be safe. So trunk or treat next week from Monday. And then 40 Days for Life, the closing ceremony will be here on November 6th at 6 p.m. So come to church Sunday morning. We'll have a great service. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll just come back and rally together as the 40 Days for Life officially closes, though we don't cease to pray to end abortion in this state, correct? Amen. So if you've never come to one, please come to that. And if you've noticed on the way in, there's Christmas shoe boxes. A lot of them disappeared last week, my goodness. But if you're interested in that, all the information, the directions, all of that is on the table. The biggest thing you need to know, two biggest things you need to know, they're due back on the 6th, November 6th. We need those back here so we can get them to where they need to go so they can get them halfway around the world in time for Christmas. And the other thing that is pretty important is, though we have hugely generous hearts here, everything needs to fit in the box. It's got to fit in the box. So it can't be overflowing out of the box, because they obviously ship these and they want them all uniform and everything. So pick, make your decisions on what you're putting in there very, very carefully so that it all does fit in the box. All right, I think that's pretty much it for announcements. Four ways to give, like always. We always put this up. We will always put this slide up because we always want to give you that opportunity. We don't want to inhibit any worship in your life. So this is just another one of those ways to worship. You can give online at bridgehelena.com. You can text it to 84321. Use the good old giving boxes, or you can mail it to 725 Granite Avenue. We will receive all of those things, and then we will use those as God sees fit and how they are appropriate. Pretty good stuff, huh? Fun to give. How many of you guys enjoy giving? It's like God says we need to do it, but it's not a hard thing to do. Once we start doing it, it gets pretty exciting, and it's very contagious, and it grows within our lives. Well, I started trying giving on Sunday mornings, and it kept growing, and now I get excited about it, and I can't wait to do it. And I remember way back when I would love to get our tax returns back, because then it's like, oh, now we know how we can give and in what areas we can give and all of those things. And it was always fun to give the very first 10%. Not the back end 10%, but that very first 10%. It's different now that I'm in ministry, because I actually tithe to our Assemblies of God district, and it's just not as fun as giving it in church. It's fun to bring it and be like, yeah, I'm ready to go, or get online or text it or whatever. So please, if you've never given before, or if you haven't been a faithful, diligent giver, just try it. God says try it. All right, let's get rolling. Let's get rolling on this series called It's Time to Acts. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you that we can gather together here this morning in this building, Lord God, and really come in. There was nothing blocked us this morning. There's a little bit of snow, sure, but who cares about that? There was no other obstacles keeping us from coming to gather together with your people to worship you. And God, we thank you so much that we're living right now in a time that we can do that so freely, but help us within our hearts make the determination that even if it wasn't so easy, we would still be here this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. What an exciting message, Lord God, that you have today. So Holy Spirit, open up our eyes, open up our minds, open up our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Holy Spirit, let me speak those things that you desire me to speak. Shut my mouth in everything else. And once again, I pray that no one, absolutely no one, from the oldest to the very youngest and everyone in between, they don't leave here today. They don't exit the doors of this building the same way that they came in. Lord, we pray for opportunities, huge opportunities that you are placing within our lives. Help us to act upon those opportunities. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone who is ready to go, shout it out. Sounds like most of you are ready to go. So, if you've been here especially for this series, and then even more especially in the last 2 weeks, you know that the last two Sundays, they've been a little challenging, right? Maybe? Would you say that? Maybe they've been a little hard as well. It was interesting last week. You guys got quiet on me last week, and we were talking about a light topic, persecution. I mean, something so easy, but you guys got so quiet, I thought, man, did everybody tune out? Is this not the correct message? It felt like I was just up here speaking, and everything else was like muted. I was like, what is going on? But then after the message, as we were closing, as people were lingering, even throughout the week, I had a lot of comments on that last message on persecution, what that meant to them and why it was so important that that be spoken. So if you've missed any of the messages, please tune in, jump online and get those. Now, pertaining to these last two messages, specifically, the last two principles, they're vital. They are so incredibly vital to our overall faith and our usefulness in God's plan. I think all of us in here have a desire to be useful in God's kingdom, right? We don't have a lot of bench riders here. That can be a season of our life where it's just like, man, I'm just going to sit on the bench. I'm just going to try to get through things. But deep down, we all have this desire to be useful for God. These principles all come into play in that. And these last two principles, though they're hard, we got to understand those. So we as a church and followers, we have to go to those places. And I hope you understand that. I can say I hope you're okay with that. But the fact of the matter is when there's hard messages to be spoken, they're going to be spoken here. God determines that, not the people. Does that make sense? Not trying to offend anybody, but I'll listen to God over what the people say. Sometimes in order to get to the places that we need to go, we first need to go to the places that are uncomfortable. And I think each one of us have testimonies within our lives and within our walk that attest to that very thing, that it's like, I knew God wanted me to go there, but boy, I had to walk through this first. And when I walked through that, it wasn't comfortable. It was downright hard. It was trying. There were times I wanted to run away, but I persisted and I pushed through. And because of that, God has changed me. He has taught me. He has challenged me. He's molded my character. He's made me into the person that I need to be, so that when I get to the places that God wants me to be, I'm ready to go. And what a beautiful thing that is. See, our maturity, one measure of our maturity in our faith and as a Christian is a willing attitude to think about, to study, and to pray about those uncomfortable and those challenging things that arise in our lives. Some of you guys right now are dealing with uncomfortable and challenging things. God is there with you. He's there with you. He's guiding you. He's teaching you. He's being your biggest fan. He's holding your hand when you need your hand holded, and he's kind of smacking you a little bit when you need to be smacked. In so doing these things, we begin to see what the world perceives as difficult and distressing is ultimately and undoubtedly within the hands of God himself. Hardship always teaches us. Persecution always teaches us that God is in charge. And here we not only find comfort, we also find confidence. I use that word a lot, I think, confidence, being confident in God, but that's so incredibly important. You're going to place your confidence somewhere. Each one of us will place our confidence somewhere. I want to place my confidence in God and live within that confidence on a day-to-day basis. So please take these last two principles and think about them, study them, and pray about them within the mindset of maturing and strengthening your faith. Amen? Amen. Now, I truly believe, and the more that we're in this series and the more I'm studying the book of Acts, I believe that the book of Acts is, in fact, laid out in a very systematic way that guides the reader through the principles that the early believers had to experience and adopt. And the reason the early church was so effective at implementing the Great Commission is because they didn't skip any steps. Right? They weren't afraid. They were like, okay, there's hardships coming, there's persecution coming, there's this, there's that, there's all these things, but we're not going to skip anything. We want the full meal deal when it comes to God. And that's this walking through those principles and adopting them really prepared them and continued to sustain them, not only in their faith, but also in their fervency to see others come to Christ. And sometimes a distinction within our lives is made in those two areas, right? It's like, yeah, my faith is solid. Yeah, it's very solid. Well, but how's your heart and your willingness to see others come to Christ? Oh, well, I'm working on that. That one's a little bit harder, but ultimately they go together, and God wants to fuse those two things together. And maybe as the modern day church, maybe we're not as effective in these areas of both our faith and wanting others to come to Christ. Maybe it's because of our willingness to skip some of these steps and principles, right? It would have been very easy to skip talking about persecution. Because really, right now, how does that truly affect us here in America? We're very prosperous. So persecution and prosperity kind of are on the two ends. So do we really need to talk about that in church? Yes, we do. Because it's a principle that we find in Acts, and it's systematic and it's orderly. Because they are important, and because all of these principles lead us up to today's principle. So let's run through the first seven principles super quick just to get them on your mind, get them on your brain. Here they are. Number one, gathering together pushes and propels kingdom movement, absolutely without a doubt. Principle number two, the body must devote itself to the essentials of faith. Kind of important, especially in this day and age where not all churches are focused on that. Principle number three, the church is equipped to operate in boldness, courage, and power, which produces confidence. Principle number four, the standard of holiness must be upheld personally and corporately. Correct. Let's look at number five. Extend impartial and unbiased compassion to all. Can be a little challenging sometimes, but we need to. Principle number six, faith worth believing in is faith worth standing for. That one was a little bit hard. And then last week's, of course, principle number seven, the church must function amid persecution. It must not only function amid persecution, but when we function amid persecution, we flourish in that persecution. This morning, I am glad to announce that we somewhat turn a corner in these principles. And today, this principle gets exciting. At least it should become exciting to every born-again believer. So let's look at principle number eight, right? We're going to focus in on principle under number eight, but we must keep in mind the prior seven principles that have led us up to this point, because it would be super easy to say, man, I just want to jump to number eight. I really like number eight, but all that other stuff, that's a little bit hard. But remember, we got to go through the hard stuff to get to where God wants us to be. Principle number eight, check this out. It's the O principle. Obedience opens ongoing opportunities. You guys believe it? You guys, we're going to learn about it, and I hope you can believe it a whole lot more by the end of this message. So let's look at some scripture and really see what this principle is all about. And I'll have to say, this is one of my favorite accounts in the entire book of Acts. And it's probably one of my favorites because of its simplicity, its relatability, and really its effectiveness. In the entire Bible, it's one of, if not the greatest example of uncomplicated evangelism. We, over the last, I don't know, decades, have maybe made evangelism not that simple, right? It's like, well, you got to attend a class, and you got to memorize this, and you got to say this exact thing, and if they say this, then say this, and if they don't say this, then say this, and then that leads you to this, and then it comes to this, and it's like, that's complicated evangelism, right? I don't do complicated very well. I'm uncomplicated, man. I pick my hairstyle for a reason, because it's very uncomplicated. Some people would say that, man, Pastor, your hairstyle picked you. That's in God's great wisdom. But I like uncomplicated, and when it comes to evangelism, I very much like uncomplicated. So I love this story. In your Bibles, you got your Bibles with you? Phone, tablet, paper, whatever it is. Turn with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now, if you remember from last week, we were in the beginning of Acts chapter 8, and that is, we understood, we came through that teaching with the understanding that there's a full-on persecution now of those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, or followers of the way, right? So, Stephen got martyred. He was murdered. He was killed for his faith. And that was really the spark that led to a full-out persecution. And because of this persecution, many of the disciples have now scattered, or they have dispersed away from Jerusalem. And it'd be like, man, yeah, of course they dispersed. They were fearful. They were freaking out. They were running for their lives. Face value, we could say that, but in reality, they were just being wise and smart, saying, hey, if I stay here, I'm going to get thrown in prison. I'm going to have a great prison ministry, and that's awesome, man. If I ever get thrown in jail for my faith, man, I'm going to start the best prison ministry that I am able to do. But a lot of these guys were like, but if we scatter, if we get out of here, we can take the gospel into the surrounding areas and even further. And then they're thinking, oh yeah, that's what Jesus said in his great commission, didn't he? The Jerusalem and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And now they're starting to see that happen. So though they were being dispersed, though they were moving, the gospel was going with them. So let's slide down and let's look at what we're talking about today. Acts chapter 8, drop down to verse 26 and 27. It says this, but an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go south to the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and he went. We have to stop right there. We have to stop right there, don't we? There's so much right here that we can learn from. Now, first of all, we need to remember who Philip is. And if you remember, Philip was one of the seven that were chosen, along with Stephen, to help facilitate the needs of the church. If you're like, man, Pastor, I don't remember that, tune in to principle number 5. We talked about it in principle number 5. So we know from this that Philip was a faithful believer. He wasn't just this newbie off the street, but you know, you can't say, yeah, he had believed in Christ for 10 years because it hadn't happened that long, right? But man, he was faithful in his fervency. He heard about Jesus and he's like, man, I'm serving this guy. I'm going to be full out for him. We also know from Acts 6:3 that Philip was in fact selected as one of the seven because he was a man with a good reputation. Your reputation matters. For Philip, he was known, man, this guy's got a good reputation. He loves Jesus. He's working for Jesus. He wants to know about Jesus. He was also a man of godly character. Men and women in here, hear this. It's important. to be full of godly character. What does that look like? It looks like all sorts of things. Look at the fruit of the Spirit. It especially looks like that. And Philip, he had moral integrity. He was a man full of integrity. And he was also a man full of the Spirit and wisdom. Pretty good resume, right? It never said what university he went to, does it? It never says how long he had served in this position at church, does it? No, it says that he has a good reputation. He's a man of godly character and moral integrity. And he's full of the Spirit. And he's full of wisdom. All of this is going to play into why we're actually talking about him today. We also know that he was a friend of Stephen, right? He was a friend. He was one of the seven chosen. And in that time, man, this was the early church, man. Everybody, the church people loved each other. They hung out all the time. So Philip would have known Stephen very, very well. Philip may well have been there witnessing the martyrdom of Stephen. Listening, oh man, look at Steve. Man, he's pretty. Man, go, Stephen, you are preaching it up. And then the rocks come out, and maybe Philip stood there and he watched his friend be stoned. We don't know those things, but we know that they were friends and that they had contact. Now, all of these factors come together and have produced the character that we need, that we are seeing in Philip. Having an idea of his character. Now we look again. We look again and put that verse back up there, that first one back up. Now we reread this. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go south to the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. So he got up and he went, understanding his character. Of course he did. Of course he did. Why? Because obedience opens up ongoing opportunities. Now let me ask you this one. This is very, very important to understand today. This question right here. At this point, when the angel says, hey, Philip, get up. Come on, get up and just go down here. Just get up and go. At this point, does Philip know anything? Philip knows nothing at this point. He has no idea why he is to get up, and he has no idea why he is to go. You see, true obedience means we don't always need to know the who, what, when, where, why, and how. And many people, even sitting in here today, are wired in such a way that they need to know. Now, growing up, it was always interesting because having two little boys, Colton, man, he loved surprises. Sometimes we would have to do a missions thing, so they were used to getting in the car and traveling. And one time we were like, man, we're just going to surprise the boys. We're going to pack their clothes, their swimming suits, all of that. And we're going to go to Great Wolf Lodge, which is an indoor water park and a hotel all combined, and you stay there. So we threw everything in, and man, Colton was so excited. He was so, man, he's still kind of that way. Surprise me, I don't need to know everything. And that's more like me, maybe. But then Levi, on the other hand, he's more of a, I need to know. Okay, so what's going on? What's going on when? Next year at this time, what's going on? I don't know, Levi. No, I need to know. He's organized like that, and he needs to know. So sometimes, depending on how we're wired, this idea of this radical obedience can be harder for some people sitting in here today, yet it can be easier for others. It's like, oh, God told me to do it, I'll do it. And others, it's like, well, God told me to do it, but I wonder why he told me to do it. When am I supposed to do it? How am I supposed to do it? What exactly am I supposed to be doing? But true obedience for Philip, which means true obedience for us, means that we shouldn't need to know all of those things. You see, true obedience simply means that we know and trust him. So the him will always outweigh the who, what, when, where, why, and how. If we were to stop here today, I would be so excited because this is so good already. This is so exciting to me already. But we're not stopping here. But I will say this, I long to be more like Philip in my life in these two areas. He heard and he obeyed. He heard and he obeyed. No question, no contemplation, no deliberating, no negotiating, no fear, and no complaining. God, help us all to be more like Philip here. And everyone said, amen. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. We're just going to start there, but we're going to expand it. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go down to the road that runs from Jerusalem down to Gaza. So he got up and he went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a man of great authority, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. You read this and you think, oh my goodness, what a random coincidence we're seeing here. What are the chances? Seriously, what are the chances that something like this would happen? Can you even believe it? Actually, this is not random at all. You may be surprised, but it isn't. This is no coincidence. I don't believe that God deals in matters of coincidence. I don't think there's just not coincidence that happens. God ordains so many different things. That's why I can't believe in the theory of evolution, right? Because that's all coincidence and chance. I can't believe in that because I believe God is orderly and he deliberately sets things in motion. See, this is all about opportunity now that is following obedience. Opportunity that is following obedience. See, God loves us, each one of us, so much that opportunity always follows obedience. Remember that one. Write that one down. Opportunity always follows obedience. Here's a quick side note for some of you in here. This is just a side note. This is bonus. This is extra credit. This is like the gravy. If you ever hear yourself saying something like this while you are listening to somebody else's testimony about this divine appointment in their life, and you hear yourself say, gosh, that just never happens to me, can I suggest that you evaluate your level of obedience? Because obedience always follows, or opportunity always follows obedience. That's just a little bonus. Let's go back to our story. So Philip, because of his bold obedience, has now been placed in a position to talk about Jesus. Let's see how that all plays out in verse 29. Then the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran up and heard the man reading the prophet Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And the Ethiopian eunuch said, well, how could I understand unless someone guides me correctly? That's important too, right? Good biblical understanding here. And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now this was the passage of Scripture which he was reading. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Justice was declined him. Who will describe this generation, for his life is taken from the earth? What we're seeing here is simply obedience leading to opportunity. That's what this is all about. We could have this great theologic breakdown, or we could look at the timing and this and that, but in reality, this whole account is simply about obedience leading to opportunity. And that opportunity comes in the form of a question, an invite, an open door. Look at verse 34 now. The eunuch replied to Philip, please tell me, about whom does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip spoke, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him, explaining that he is the promised Messiah and the source of salvation. Amen to that. Now, in our lives, in our current cultural climate, our opportunity or opportunities may or may not look quite like this one. It might, but it might not. But our obedience will always open our eyes to opportunities regardless. And when opportunities arise, we must make sure we follow Philip's lead here. We listen, right? And we follow the Holy Spirit. We listen and we follow the... What about all those other things we have to do? It doesn't matter about those other things if you don't first listen and follow the Holy Spirit. Remember, what we're talking about today is uncomplicated evangelism. The most uncomplicated evangelism is simply listening and following the Holy Spirit. And now we come to my favorite part about this story. It's in verse 36. As they continued along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch exclaimed, "Look, water! What forbids me from being baptized?" Philip said to him, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he replied, "I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered that the chariot be stopped, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip and carried him away to a different place, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. So here we have this Ethiopian eunuch, and he's headed back home, and the chariot just doesn't drive very quickly. He's not in any danger of getting a speeding ticket, Charlie. There's no problem there. It just isn't that fast. And while they're riding, I believe this Ethiopian eunuch, he had been in Jerusalem. He had seen the things that take place. He's got some excitement. Enough excitement that he's headed home, and while he's headed, he's like, "Well, I'm going to read just a little bit," and he's trying to understand what these scriptures are even talking about, because the Old Testament is a little confusing, right? It really is. Sometimes the New Testament is a little bit confusing, and then all of a sudden, here's this guy, and this guy's all of a sudden is running alongside of the chariot. This guy named Philip, and he asks this simple question, this tiny little question, because there's obedience and there's opportunity. And Philip says, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading?" I believe the Holy Spirit gave them those exact words, and I believe the Holy Spirit can give people within our congregation, when we're out in the community, simple words like, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Notice how he didn't all of a sudden say, he's running along the chariot and he looks at the eunuch and he says, "If you died tonight, do you know where you would spend eternity?" Did you notice he didn't do that? He simply said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Because there's a process here. And what this does is it opens the door. He didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey, I have some literature. Can I leave that with you and come back next week and we'll talk about it?" And things like, no, he opened the door to what the Holy Spirit guided him. "Do you understand what you are reading?" And within this, a greater door opens for Philip to preach Jesus. And that was Philip's intention the whole time, was to talk about who he knows as his Savior, his Messiah. And then the eunuch, and I love this part. I truly love this part. The eunuch exclaims, "Look, water. Look at this. You were just talking about all this stuff. And all of a sudden, by coincidence, we come upon some water." Don't you? I'm just amazed by God's timing. God's timing is always so good. There wasn't water. Philip preaches Jesus, preaches all those things, and all of a sudden there's water. And Philip is able now to take this man and to baptize him, who has now come to and placed his faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. How simple is this? This is uncomplicated evangelism right here. This is uncomplicated evangelism that's following an opportunity that has followed obedience. It all starts here. The Ethiopian eunuch, they're putting him down. He's in the water. He pulls him up. That whole process started because of Philip's obedience. And what an amazing account this is of just that simple obedience, opening up an amazing opportunity. But our principle doesn't end here, does it? Because look at principle 8 once again. Obedience opens ongoing opportunities. Obedience doesn't simply open opportunities, though it does. Obedience opens ongoing opportunities because this account is all about the possibility of multiplication. Don't you love multiplication? Right? When it comes to our faith, when it comes to Christianity, multiplication is always better than division. Right? That's a math joke, and man, you guys didn't barely even get it. I don't know. We'll do math next week, I guess. If you guys remember back in Matthew 18, there's what's called the parable of the sower. You can look that up later today if you don't remember. Matthew 18 is called the parable of the sower. And it says that some seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Really? Some of that grain fell and there was a 100-fold increase? How does that happen? How could that even work? Simple, it's called multiplication. Philip, through his obedience, sowed the seed with the potential, and I would say of much more than just a 100-fold increase, right? We look at that and think a 100-fold increase, boy, that's the best because it says 100 first and then it says 60, 30. So 100 must be the top, and that's not the case at all. 100-fold increase is just, that's just an example here. God knows no boundaries. God says, no, this has the potential of something that's much more than a 100-fold increase. Was that Philip's intention? Was Philip's intention here to have a 100-fold increase, maybe a 1,000-fold increase? Was that in the back of his mind? No. His intention was obedience. That's what we have to understand. But in Philip's obedience, it was God's intention that led to multiplication. Oh, this is so exciting. Why? Because obedience opens ongoing opportunities. Here's a little history. You guys want a little history? Archaeologists have made the this was back in the late 90s, I believe. The archaeologists have made the discovery of a Christian church building in sub-Saharan Africa that coincides with the influential Akkuzmite Kingdom. A major empire of the ancient world, the Kingdom of Akkuzum arose in Ethiopia during the 1st century. The structure dates back to the 4th century and confirms local Ethiopian and Christian tradition of Christianity moving into the region at an early date. Historically, Ethiopia is the second country to have officially proclaimed Christianity as its state religion, having done so in AD 333. That's a long time ago. That's a long time. They were the second. You think, oh, wait, it would probably be this, that, or the other. What about Rome? What about this? No. It was Ethiopia in AD 333. Church tradition says that the Ethiopian eunuch, evangelized by Philip in Acts 8, spread the gospel as he returned to Africa. Church fathers, as early as Irenaeus in AD 180, mentioned the eunuch evangelizing his homeland. Woo, I got tingles. That stirs my heart. That really does stir my heart. Why? Because of the example of Philip's obedience. It all ties back. all of that. That, oh my gosh, look at this. Christianity has spread to Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, and Ethiopia. Hey, Ethiopia is a long ways away, and look at all this. And hey, they got church fathers, and they're saying, hey, it was the Ethiopian eunuch, and that's awesome, and that ties back to Philip. But what it really ties back to is Philip's obedience. It's his obedience. Obedience that opened ongoing opportunities. It makes me realize that when I step out in obedience, I have no idea what God will ultimately do with that. It's astonishing to think about. It's astonishing to think back that I was sitting in a church service on a Sunday morning, and there was a missionary speaking, and he was talking about all these great things, and in my mind, I'm wondering how much am I giving to missions in this coming year. But God simply whispered, I don't want your money this year. I want you. I want all of you. Okay, God, what does that mean? I guess I don't know. Guess I don't need to know what that means. God, you can have all of me. Okay, well, if I have all of you, then I want you to do this. I'm like, what? Seriously? Okay, I'm going to do it. I questioned myself. I never questioned God. So I start walking through the process. Oh, I'm going to become a pastor. I'm going to become a missionary. I didn't know any better. Had I known better, I would have thought, man, I didn't go to school for this. I already have a job. I already have a career. I already have a family. I can't be doing this. I could have had that self-doubt, couldn't I? But instead I said, okay, God, I just want to be obedient to you. So I start doing all this stuff, and God starts putting on the gas pedal in our lives and taking us fast. And then we wind up as missionaries that we had no business being missionaries. We had no business. See, the missionary process is as you get credentialed, all of that stuff, and then you become a missionary associate for 2 years so that you can learn. And then after that, maybe if you do the right interviews and everything, then maybe you can become a fully appointed missionary. And we wind up in Springfield, Missouri, at a missions training thing, not knowing anything, and we walk in, and there's all these high officials of the Assemblies of God in a row, and I'm supposed to describe our calling and what's going on, and in our previous ministry experience. That was quick. Don't have any. And then they wanted to know our current ministry plan of what we're going to do. That was quick. Didn't have one. And we speak to these people, and then they say, well, go outside, we're going to talk about this. It's like, oh, this is weird. This is nerve-wracking, kind of. But I'm just trying to be obedient. I'm just trying to be obedient here. So we leave the room, and we walk back in, and the conversation goes something like, well, you don't have any previous ministry experience. You've never been on staff at a church. You've never had a vocation of ministry. That's, you don't have any of that. And actually, you don't have a ministry plan. You don't even know where you're going. But what we do believe is we believe the calling that God has put on your life. So we're just going to go ahead and fully appoint you as missionaries. What? Really? Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to obey what the Holy Spirit says. And through that, we would go into churches, and as we grew our ministry and started doing things, pastors would say, man, how did you do all this? How did you step out in that faith and just do that? And my answer would always be the same. I would say, man, I am just too dumb to know any better. I'm not kidding. I would say that all the time. I just listened. When God asks us to do something, we just do it. We don't question it. We're not smart enough to understand why we shouldn't be doing it. We're dumb enough just to do it. And there's an obedience that opens up doors to so many opportunities. How am I here on a Sunday morning preaching to you guys? Sometimes I ask myself that, and I date that all the way back to obedience. It's simply obedience. So yes, it makes me very much realize that when I step out in obedience, I have no idea what God will ultimately do. I still don't know what God will ultimately do. Now let me ask you this question. I'm going to put it up here. What if Philip was too busy? What if he was too distracted? What if he felt too unworthy? What if he was too fearful? All those bad what if questions. Could those things get in the way of Philip's obedience? You bet they could have. Do those very things get in the way of our obedience? You bet they do. But I know this for a fact, that God's plan and God's will would have found someone else. And Philip, he would have just missed out. He would have regretted it. And he would have probably repented for it, reconciled that with God. But in this instant, he would have missed out. See, when an opportunity to be obedient to God comes, it's not something that we have to tell God that, well, I probably need to pray about that, God. How much time do I have here, God? Now you want to confirm those things and make sure that it's actually the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And that's where wise counsel, which is very important, comes into play, right? So if you come to me and say, oh man, I think God's giving me this opportunity to bless the church by robbing a bank, I'm going to probably say, you know what, we gotta maybe pray about that just a little more, because it kind of runs contrary to Scripture, right? But in so many cases, we shut down the potential for obedience in our life that quickly. Oh, no. No, God. No, God. Nope. I don't think I'm hearing right. Every time we do that, God's plan and God's will moves forward. It just moves forward without us. We forfeit the opportunity because we aren't willing to submit in our obedience. So never underestimate or undervalue the importance of your opportunities that are followed by your obedience. Because we just don't know. We just don't know how God will choose to work His plan. Flip that slide. This one was big for me. Our obedience isn't ever just for us. Sometimes selfishly, we can make it all about us and this obedience thing. And if we, the opposite of obedience is disobedience, right? So if we choose to disobey what God is asking us to do, we kind of think it's not that big a deal. It's just me deciding not to do what God wants me to do. Until we understand that obedience is never just for us. We're just a piece. We're just a link in the chain. See, Philip, he was the link in the chain. That link had to be established, though, so the Ethiopian eunuch could then take the gospel forward. And who knows? That would be an amazing story. When the Ethiopian eunuch got back, who did he share with first? Did he share with the queen first? Did he share with those that were around him first? Did he just run down to the streets and start talking about Jesus? We don't know, but those links have to line up, and obedience is what fuses those links together. So within our lives, we have to continue to ask ourselves, am I obeying? Is my obedience with God, or is it disobedience? Interesting thing to ask ourselves. Told you, we're turning a corner today, man. This is so exciting. The potential for ongoing opportunities is endless. But it always starts in the same place. Simply because of Philip's obedience, Ethiopia was exposed to the gospel. Ethiopia! It's like we get excited. Hey, I have a coworker that was exposed to the gospel because I was obedient. And we rejoice in God for that, right? We do. We're so excited about that. But here it's like, because of Philip's obedience, Ethiopia was exposed to the gospel. The entire region was exposed to the gospel. And let me say this, Philip's obedience was born out of the prior seven priorities that we have looked at. Right? Meeting together propels kingdom movement. Right? It was out of the meeting together, waiting on the Holy Spirit to come. It all started there. He was plugged in. Man, he was meeting. He was at the teachings. He was hanging out. He was being discipled. He was doing all of those things. And it led up to this point, this starting point, where Philip had an opportunity to say some simple words. Hey, you understand what you're reading. And here's the beauty of this example. Philip, through his willingness and through his obedience, simply shared what he knew. Philip just shared what he knew. He wasn't like freaked out, trying to remember what he was supposed to memorize. He simply shared what he knew to be true about his relationship with Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. When we look at this, when we look at the process of this uncomplicated evangelism, it wasn't that extraordinary. It really wasn't. We can look and we can listen and we can watch on TV these apologetic debates and all these different things that are, man, that's extraordinary that they can do all of those things. This wasn't that. Yet though it wasn't that extraordinary at face value, it had an extraordinary impact. It was very personal, right? He climbed up. He sat with, he explained, he testified, he led. He said, yeah, there's water. Do you believe? Do you want to be baptized? Do you want to be a faithful born-again follower of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Stirs my heart. This example stirs my heart. What opportunities do you have to share something that God will give you in an extraordinary way? Ask yourself that question right now. What opportunities do you have to share something in an extraordinary way? And the proper answer is I don't know, Pastor. All I have to do is be obedient. Exactly. It all comes back to obedience. So I have to ask you this. How is your obedience this morning? Worship team, if you guys want to come on up here. Boils down to that question, doesn't it? Because it all comes back to that. It all comes back to that obedience. And some of you in here might be saying right now, because your toes are curling up in your shoes, and you're saying, Pastor, can't we just talk more about persecution? Why do we have to talk about my obedience? Some of us in here are doing that. Because here's the deal, persecution is going to come, and that's going to be a general thing. We're all going to live under the persecution. We're all going to come together and say, hey, how you doing in this persecution? We're all going to get strengthened in that persecution. But when it comes down to a question like, how's your obedience? That becomes very personal, doesn't it? It's personal to each one of us. I have to ask myself that all the time. How's my obedience? How is that? You guys want to drop the lights just a little bit? Of course, I'm going to open up these altars in a moment to come before God and ask that basic question, man, God, how is my obedience? Or maybe, just maybe, within this opportunity to come forward, you're going to come forward and you're going to say, God, oh, help me in my disobedience. Help me in my disobedience. God, I have not been obedient to you how I should. I've tuned you out. I've closed you down. I haven't wanted to hear what you've been asking or saying. Sometimes we need to get to the altar to take those earplugs of doubt out, throw them on the ground, and make a choice. Jesus, it's all about you. All I want to do is be obedient to you. What might that look like? Who cares? Who cares? Our obedience isn't based on the result. right? Oh, God, I will be obedient if and only if. God, you want me to be a missionary? I will be a missionary only if it'll look like this. God, I will be a pastor only if I can have a church of 12,453. God, that's my requirement. See, that's disobedience, because it has to be blind obedience. If God's saying, do this, don't question it. If God's saying, be this, don't question it. Simply be obedient. See, when it comes to obedient, it all boils down to hope, doesn't it? Our obedience always boils down to hope. The hope that we hold dear is the same hope that so many desperately need. See, there was all these people. There was a mass amount of people in Ethiopia. And what they truly needed was hope. They needed the hope of Jesus Christ within their life. But man, that is so far away. That is so far away. And God said, but I got a plan. I got a plan. I got a plan to get the gospel all the way over there. What's the plan? It doesn't matter. I'm picking Philip because he's not going to question it. I'm picking Philip because he's going to extend blind obedience. Hey, I got an angel right here. I'm going to send him down with a message. Hey, Philip, get up. Get up and go. Philip says, I'm gone. Where am I going? It doesn't matter. I'm going to be obedient because somewhere deep down inside of me, the Holy Spirit is saying, Ethiopia needs the hope of Jesus Christ. And your obedience is the beginning link in the chain of opportunity. So we have to ask ourselves once again, how is my obedience? I came in this morning and the worship team got here and Dave starts playing this first song that I've never heard before, and instantly I feel the Holy Spirit just worshiping with me. And there's so much in that song that makes so much sense. And there's the basis of that song is, will you make room? Will you make room? In your life, will you make room for obedience? Will you make room for the opportunity that follows that obedience? That's a question I can't answer for anyone in here. It's a very personal question that only you can answer for yourself, or reaffirm that for yourself. So as we end today with a couple songs, we're doing the first song again, Making Room. I invite you to the altar to either repent for your disobedience. That sounds harsh. What a horrible pastor I would be if I didn't give you an opportunity to repent for your disobedience, or to affirm your obedience, and to say, God, within my obedience, I don't need to know the exacts, but God, I ask that this afternoon, that tomorrow, that this coming week, you open up those divine, beautiful opportunities in my life. Everyone wants to stand up. I'm going to pray. We're going to worship. And these altars will be open. But keep in mind the simplicity of Philip. That simple obedience that led to an uncomplicated evangelism that wound up bringing in an entire region to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, what a beautiful story. What an exciting story. But it's so much more than just a story. It is a testimony as to your process. It's a testimony that your principles work, and that, Lord, through my obedience, there can be an ongoing opportunity to others. Lord, help me not fall into the trap of disobedience, to negotiations, to complaining, to falling into fear. But Lord God, that I will simply say, yes, Lord. Okay, Lord, I don't need to know it all. But I'll walk through it with you because I know that your will and your way is a beautiful plan. So Lord God, work on our hearts. Holy Spirit, touch our hearts right now and help us to see that those opportunities simply start with our obedience. And our obedience simply starts with knowing you as our Lord and Savior. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.